This morning we're going back to the Gospel of John. We're going to go to chapter 10 this morning. John chapter 10. We're going to look at a few things this morning. We're going to look at the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the security of the sheep, of the true sheep, and also the reaction to the true shepherd. That's in your bulletins, your study guide we're going to go over. But first, let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, once again, we're so blessed to be able to have your word to look into. And Lord, as we always ask and pray that you supernaturally, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that you open up the hearts, the eyes, the ears of the hearers this morning and those that are going to be listening to your word. Lord, bring him into the truth of what you want him to hear this morning. Your word is truth. We ask that you will take off the blinders and show them who the true shepherd really is. And once again, Father, I ask that you will empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your gospel for your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. The Gospel of John. John chapter 10. I'm going to open up with a little commentary here. But see, John chapter 10, we're going to look at Jesus, the true shepherd. And this true shepherd, Jesus Christ, in John chapter 10, is going to address the false shepherds who are leading a people astray from the true knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. He is the true Messiah. You see, Jesus' discourse here in the study Bible on himself as the good shepherd, it flowed directly from chapter 9 as Jesus continued to talk to the very same people of chapter 9. The problem of chapter 9 was that Israel was led by false shepherds who drew them away from a true knowledge in the kingdom of the Messiah. Jesus declared himself to be the good shepherd. Here in chapter 10, he's going to declare that. Who was appointed by his Father as Savior and King. In contrast to the false shepherds. The false shepherds of Israel who were self-appointed and self-righteous. You see, the sheepfold. Jesus is going to speak here in verses 1 through 30. Using a sustained metaphor based on the first century sheep ranching. The sheep were kept in a pen, which had a gate through which the sheep entered and left. The shepherd engaged a gatekeeper or a hired hand as an under-shepherd to guard the gate. The shepherd entered through that gate. He whose interest of stealing or wounding the sheep would choose another way to attempt the entrance. The words of Ezekiel chapter 34 most likely form the background to Jesus' teaching since God denounced the false shepherds of Israel, the spiritual leaders of the nation, for not caring properly for the flock of Israel, the nation. You see, the gatekeeper, the doorkeeper, was a hired under-shepherd who recognized the true shepherd of the flock, opened the gate for him, assisted the shepherd in caring for the flock, and especially guarded them at night. And see, the sheep hear his voice. Near eastern shepherds stand at different locations outside the sheep pen. When they did this, sounding out their own unique calls, they would call for the sheep, which the sheep would recognize their voice. As a result, the sheep gathered around the shepherd, as he calls his own sheep by name. This shepherd goes even further by calling each sheep by its own special name. You see, Jesus' point is that he comes to the fold of Israel and calls out his own sheep individually, and he brings them into the fold. And as you can see on in chapter 10, he has other sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them, he says, I must bring. and they will hear my voice. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. John chapter 10. First, let's look at verses 1 through 6. The true shepherd. Verses 1 through 6. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. You see, Jesus said that his sheep hear his voice when he calls him, because they know his voice. On the other hand, yet by no means they will listen or follow a stranger, because they do not know his voice. And a point to ponder this morning, those who are genuinely saved will not abandon and completely turn away from Jesus Christ to follow false teachers, false shepherds, false systems. Those who are truly saved do not leave the true shepherd to follow those who deny the truth of who Jesus is, of what His Word says, and what He came for. You see, true sheep, true believers, they recognize the truth, and they stand for the truth, and they reject error. You see, this Jesus Christ is the only true shepherd and the overseer of your soul. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 through 25. For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now return to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. So this true shepherd, we know, Jesus Christ, is the only true shepherd and overseer of your soul. Jesus Christ is the only true mediator between God and man. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me read verses 1 through 5 to you. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Over in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 9, let me read the verses starting in verse 11 through 28. Hebrews 9:11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For with the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, He is a mediator of the new covenant by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant, which God has commanded you." Then likewise, he sprinkled with the blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the copies of the things in heavens should be purified with these, that the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with the blood of another. He then would have to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. So we see that this true shepherd, Jesus Christ, he's the only true mediator between God and man. Peter says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Acts 4, 12, "Nor there is salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." The true shepherd. The good shepherd. John chapter 10. Let's go down to verse 7. John chapter 10, verse 7 through 21. "Then Jesus said to them again, 'Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of his fold. Them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Therefore, there was a division among the Jews because of these sayings. And many of them said, 'He has a demon and is mad. Why do you listen to him?' Others said, 'These are not the words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?' Jesus described three characteristics of His sheep. They hear His voice. They follow Him. And they shall never perish. We're going to see that here in a moment. You see, the good shepherd knows his sheep, and they know him. The I am statements here, I want to share with you. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. The context of this is during a discourse with Israel's religious leaders, in which Jesus, in essence, declared them to be unfit shepherds of the nation. You see, shepherds guided their flocks into stoned enclosures each night to protect them. These structures had no doors. The shepherd would sit or lie in the opening to prevent predators from attacking. Thus, Jesus said, I am the door to sheep, declaring His care and constant devotion to those who are His. He said, I am the good shepherd. Unlike a hireling who might run away and leave the flock unprotected, Jesus is committed for caring for and keeping watch over His people. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. In verse 7, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Let me share with you from a commentary of John MacArthur. Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Sometimes the shepherd slept in the opening of the sheepfold to guard the sheep. No one could enter or leave except through him. In Jesus' metaphor, he is the door through which the sheep enter the safety of God's fold and go out to the rich pasture of his blessing. It is through him that lost sinners can approach the Father and appropriate the salvation He provides. Jesus alone is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Him. Only Jesus is the true source of the knowledge of God and salvation and the basis for spiritual security. You see, the Lord's assertion, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, does not, of course, include Israel's true spiritual leaders. Jesus was referring to Israel's false shepherds, the wicked kings, the corrupt priests, the false prophets. However, the true sheep did not hear them. They did not heed them, and they were not led astray by them. Then Jesus said, I am the door. And he added the promise, if anyone enters through me, he will be saved, saved from sin and hell. You see, Christ's sheep will experience God's love, forgiveness, and salvation. They will go in and out freely, always having access to God's blessings and protection, and never fearing any harm or danger. We put our faith and trust in God. They will find satisfying pasture as the Lord feeds them on His Word. In other contrast, the thieving, false shepherds who, like their father the devil, came only to steal and kill and destroy the sheep. Jesus came that they may have spiritual and eternal life and have it abundantly. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf scatters them. A wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. You see, Jesus' identification of himself as a good shepherd points back to the true shepherd described in verse 2. You see, he is a perfect, authentic shepherd in a class by himself. Being a faithful shepherd entailed a willingness to lay one's life down to protect the sheep. You see, but Jesus, a good shepherd, went far beyond merely willing to risk His life for His sheep. He said, I lay down my life for the sheep. His death, Jesus Christ's death, was an actual atonement to provide propitiation for the sins of all who would believe in Him. As they were called and regenerated by the Spirit, because they were chosen by the Father. And He says in verse 16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. The other sheep in view here are Gentiles who are not of Israel's fold. They too will hear Jesus' voice calling them to salvation. And then redeemed Jews and Gentiles will become one flock with one shepherd. You see, this good shepherd is the door to salvation. As Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 through 22. Ephesians 2, verse 11. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So as you can see, this good shepherd that lays down his life for his sheep has made one fold, one man, Jew and Gentile, by the cross. He has broken down the middle wall of separation. And by His blood, He has brought us near and granted us access to Almighty God. Then we come to the security of the true sheep. So we've seen that Jesus Christ is the true shepherd. He is the good shepherd. He is the door. And now we have the security of the true sheep. John 10, verse 22 through 30. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then the Jews surrounded Him and said to Him, How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. As he said in John 6, 39 through 40, This is a will of the Father who sent me, that all He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of Him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Over in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. Through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. You see, the security of the true sheep rest in the hands of Jesus and the Almighty God. If you are a true sheep, you have true security. As Jesus said, they do not believe Him because they are not His sheep. My sheep, He says, hear My voice. And He said, I know them and they will follow Me. Then He said, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. Let's look at what Paul said in Romans about God's everlasting love. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written? For your sake we are all killed all day long, for we are all counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The security of the true sheep. Hear the commentary once again. My sheep, Jesus said, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The elect will heed Christ's call to salvation and continue in faith and obedience to eternal glory. The Lord continued by articulating the wonderful truth that those who are His sheep need never fear of being lost. He says, I give eternal life to them. Jesus declared, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Nowhere in Scripture is there a stronger affirmation of the absolute eternal security of all true Christians. Jesus plainly taught that the security of the believer in salvation does not depend on human effort, but it is grounded in the gracious, sovereign election, the promise, and the power of God. Christ's words reveal seven realities that bind every true Christian forever to God. First, believers are His sheep, and it is the duty of the Good Shepherd to protect His flock. This is the will of Him who sent me, Jesus said, that all that He has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. To insist that a true Christian can somehow be lost is to deny the truth of that statement. It is also to defame the character of the Lord Jesus Christ, making Him out to be an incompetent shepherd, unable to hold on to those entrusted to Him by the Father. Secondly, Christ's sheep hear only His voice and follow only Him. Since they will not listen or follow a stranger, they could not possibly wander away from Him and eternally be lost. Thirdly, Christ's sheep have eternal life. To speak of eternal life ending is a contradiction in terms. Fourthly, Christ gives eternal life to His sheep. Since they did nothing to earn it, they can do nothing to lose it. Fifthly, Christ promised that His sheep will never perish. Were even one to do so, it would make Jesus Christ a liar. Sixthly, no one, not false shepherds, the thieves, the robbers, the false prophets, nor even the devil himself, is powerful enough to snatch Christ's sheep out of His hand. Lastly, Christ's sheep are held not only in His hand, but also the hand of the Father, who is greater than all, and thus no one is able to snatch them out of His hand either. You see, John 6:39-40, once again, "This is the will of Him who sent Me, that all that He has given Me, I lose nothing, but raise Him up on the last day. For this is the will of My Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in Him will have eternal life, and I Myself will raise him up on the last day." That's eternal security. So as we conclude, we looked at the true shepherd versus the false shepherds, the thieves, the robbers. We looked at the good shepherd in the door. "I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd," Jesus said. And we looked at the security of the true sheep. The security of the true sheep. Lastly, let's look at the reaction to the true good shepherd. Verse 31 through 42 of John chapter 10. "Then the Jews took up stones to stone Him. Jesus answered them, 'Many good works I have shown you from My Father. For which of those works do you stone Me?' The Jews answered Him, saying, 'For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God.' Jesus answered them, 'Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? If He called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the Scripture cannot be broken, do you say of Him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blasphemy, because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of the Father, do not believe Me. But if I do, though you do not believe Me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in Me and I in Him. Therefore, they sought again to seize Him, but He escaped out of their hands." Verse 40. "And He went away beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there He stayed. Then many came to Him and said, 'John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this Man were true, and many believed in Him.'" Once again, as we have been walking through the Gospel of John, we've seen the reaction of the people that Jesus spoke to. Some believed, some did not believe. Some believed, some did not believe. But let's look over in 1 John. And let's let the Scripture speak to us about these people. Some believed, some did not believe. Let's start with 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 18 through 25. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, Even now, many antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Then he says in verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. Then he goes on to say, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he who denies that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He has promised us, eternal life. Go to chapter 4 of 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world. Therefore, they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Reactions for the true shepherd. Some believed, some did not believe. Let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, once again, we want to thank you for your word. Father, I want to pray and ask that those who are going to listen to this sermon, that as they listen, that you will convict them by the power of the Holy Spirit of their sin in their life and their need of a Savior, the true Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Lord, there's so much going on in our world today. But as we read your word, we know that it went on back when your word was written. So, Father, we know many people are deceived by the country clubs of this world they call churches. They do not teach your word. I ask, Father, that those who are going to listen to this CD, if they are going to them churches, if they are listening to these false teachers, these false shepherds, that you will awaken them, that you will open their eyes, and that as you call to them, they will hear your voice and run to the true shepherd, the true Savior of their soul, Jesus Christ. I ask, Father, for us true believers, the true sheep, Jew and Gentile, that you will help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to stand bold on your word, not to compromise your word for anyone, to know that our eternal security is true, and we rest in your word in what Jesus Christ has done for us. Help us not to get overwhelmed by this evil world, but to know, as your word says, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Help us to rest in your promises, your provisions in our life, as we stand for Your Word and for Your glory. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.